Okay. Good to see all of you here. And when I say all of you, a few of us.
Regular.
The regulars. The committed. Let's put it that way. I want to look at these words, these what Jesus said here. And think about it a minute. And he said in Luke 18:7-8 said, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly." And then he said, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" You know, God said he's going to give justice to those who serve him. That may not come as quick as we want, but he's going to do that. Trust me, he will. But what I want us to really focus on right now is, will he find faith when he comes? That's what he said. He asked. And that almost sounds like a question to me. Will he really find faith when he comes back? Will it be that there'll be only a few, or if any, that's going to be have faith in him? Why did he bring that question up? Why did he even ask that? There must be a purpose. Is this why faith will be hard to find? He said here, "Enter into the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." I thank you guys for your commitment to this congregation. You know, sometimes when we see only a few, we get very discouraged. And it's only natural. But you know, when he said this, he made a very point, I can't say it plainer. He says, "Look, do you think serving me is going to be easy? Do you think serving me that everything's going to go well in your life? Do you think serving me is going to be everything that's been told you, that once you come to Christ, all is well, everything's going to be wonderful in your life?" No, just the opposite. He said, "But it's a narrow way, a difficult way that leads to real life, and there is only a few that's going to find it." Well, that just kind of looks different than what the average person thinks when they start serving God. Because it's just not, it just doesn't make sense in a lot of ways. You'd think that it would be the opposite. But let's put this into context. What flag is this? Israel. When he came the first time, who did he come to? He came to the Jewish people. He came to that nation, the nation of Israel. And he said, "When I come to the earth, will I find faith when I come?" Now, when he came, the question is, did he find faith? And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But when Israel, you know the answer to this, the majority of these people had nothing to do with him. Now, you'll see where I'm going with this in a little bit, I hope. But he said something else here that's important. Jesus said, "Only a few will answer his call." And again, it's in this, when he walked right among these people. He was walking with them, talking with them, and they loved him. And we're going through this on our Friday study. They loved him, flocked around him. As long as they were getting healed, he was doing things for the physical, to give them what they really wanted. But when he began to start teaching them, and really teaching them some depth stuff, some things deep, the crowd started thinning out. And they began to forsake him and depart from him. And they would have very little to do with him. Now, the reason I've done this is because we find two comings of Christ in chapter Matthew 24. Now, in the last, 4 weeks, 5 weeks that you talked about chapter 24? You know, the first time he came to the Jews, and he told them that the very temple that they were looking at, it was so beautiful and wonderful that it would be torn down. That God was, that they could take and look at that temple and every stone would be laid bare. Because the point behind that was what? He was finished, if you will, with that first covenant. He wasn't no longer going to, that covenant was no longer going to be beneficial to these people. Nor would these people be called his people. You see, that was the first coming of Christ when he came. He let them know, and this is letting us know in that Matthew 24, that he was finished with that situation. The Jewish people now, and people now, and we had a good lesson on it already, but I wanted to rehearse it. God made it plain, he's made it plain to you and I, he's made it plain to this world, that he's done with that nation as his, calling his, that nation his. But yet people still have a problem with us saying such a thing. No, that this temple was the last resort. He put up with that. He allowed that temple to stand after he died on the cross. You know that. You know what happened. He died on the cross. The law was done away. But he gave it another, 40 years before he destroyed that temple. But he was saying that's finalization. That's it. So let's understand that. That's what we find happened in that first coming. But that wasn't all that was said, though. He went on to say something else. He went on to say this: heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, when the world will pass away, in other words, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. He said, I've brought an end to this first covenant. And one day, there's going to be an end to this second covenant. Now, when I say an end, nobody will be able to ever come in under this covenant ever again when he comes back. It's finished. It's done. Just like he done away with that first covenant, he's going to do away with the second. Not that he's saying the covenant will never end, but what he's saying is nobody will be able to come into that covenant ever again. Once he comes back, that's it. Two ends are mentioned in that Matthew 24. And we shouldn't miss that. So God is showing, he's showing us, did he find faith when he came? Let me see. Just to go back to the days of Noah, because if you read on in Matthew 24, 37, 38, 39 on, it talks about the days of Noah. But it says here that we're to remember Jesus asked the question, will I find faith when I come? Well, we know the history of the days of Noah, right? In the days of Noah, he found 8 souls, 8 people off of that world. At that time, wasn't very many, was it? Few, very few, considering how many that, God knows how many, I don't know how many people were in that world at that time. You would think that more than 8 would have got on the boat, wouldn't you? But they had more interest in what was going on around them. That was more interesting than him. But Jesus found faith in 120 while on earth who were faithful to his ministry. In other words, think about this. When all those people flocked around Jesus and all the people that he witnessed to and fed the 5,000, the 6,000, the 10, the whatever, all the things that he was doing, the healings and all this stuff that he was doing. He had people flocking around him. But in the upper room, there was only 120 that actually followed him through that ministry to be in that upper room. That's not very many. Now, we know what happened on Pentecost. Even Pentecost, when the 3,000 come in. It's never been a great crowd that was going to follow him. It was always, if we look real close, it's always been the faithful few. Because the world has so much to offer, to give, if you will, for us to enjoy, that Christ kind of sets on the back burner, if he sets anywhere at all. So, he went on to say that he will find a few faithful souls when he comes again. I'll assure you that. We know the church will never be snatched out. It'll always be here. But I don't believe it'll ever be a big crowd. It's not consistent with the rest of what's been said. You would think, God, as good as he is, that people would really rally around him and flock to him like they did, and they will, as long as it's the God they want. It's the God they want. Because what they want is all the goodies. That's what we want. We want the goodies. But we already read a scripture where all the goodies may not come our way every time. Life is not easy. And it gets even harder sometimes. We've got to be honest when you are a Christian. Because we fight in this flesh. We want the goodies too. Don't y'all want the goodies? I do. Sometimes we have to leave the goodies alone to have Christ. Sometimes we don't get everything we want, but we can reach out and get it. If we forsake him, we can go ahead and get it. But is it worth it? That's the question. Forsaking him? And sometimes, we talked about that this morning. It's just, until you've been in the fight, you don't realize. Once you're in the fight, and really in the fight, you know what you got to give up. Paul said, I had to buffet my body and bring it under subjection. Because he knew that flesh was going to take over if he didn't. He said, I got to walk for God. I can't walk my walk. I got to walk his walk. And in doing that, it's tough. It's hard. But if we're going to be the few, a part of that few, that when he comes, that's what we got to do. We may have to give up something that we have to want to give up, not want to give up. And sometimes that's not easy. Because you see, the thing about it is this. Many will have a great surprise at his second coming. Thessalonians says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as a labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in that darkness so that that day shall overtake you as a thief. We as Christians should be ready for his coming. We should be ready anytime. And can you imagine being somewhere that you shouldn't be the day he shows up or the moment he showed up? You see, we should always be cautious because we don't know when he's coming. We have no idea. It may be today. It may be in a moment. I don't know. But whenever he comes, we want to make sure that our walk is where it needs to be. And we should be those who know he's coming, not those who don't know, those who's not expecting it, when suddenly, all at once, here he is. And when that day comes, what a joyful day. But not for everybody. Not for everybody. I'm very concerned about some people that I love. I really am. They're not prepared. I know they're not. And you try to do what you can, what we can to tell them, but it's just not an interest to them. But honestly speaking, what are we going to do when it happens? Where are we going to find them at? Where are we going to find ourselves? You know, when I put this together, I'm thinking, Lord, where am I at in this situation? What is a faithful person? What is it that God's really looking for in our life? One thing he's looking for is we be prepared for his coming. That we'll want him to come. And sometimes we don't live like it. Sometimes we're so busy and caught up in the world, we don't really think about the seriousness of what's going to happen when he shows up. Because he will show up, trust me. You know he will. Everyone will see him. Everyone. He said in Revelation 1, 7, 8, behold, he is coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. Now that's important because remember Israel? The ones that back in that day, when he walked the first time, they're going to see him. They saw the first coming, and they're going to see the second. And it says here, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, saith the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I don't know. I, We got to get this planted in our mind that God is serious about this coming, and we need to be serious about it, and I think most of us are at times. But I just wanted to rehearse this today because I don't know that we can hear it enough. I don't know if we can hear it enough. They wasn't ready the first coming. Will we be ready at the second? Personally, I don't think so. I don't think the majority of the world will not be ready for it. They won't be. But we as Christians have to be. And keep that in our mind, because we get real foolish sometimes when we forget. You know we do. Let's keep our mind, hey, he could show up any moment. Of course, we could always die any moment, too. But I'm talking about the second coming. Because every eye will see him when he comes. Nobody will miss it, okay? He's coming to what? Raise the dead. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Isn't that odd that people that's dead in a grave are going to hear his voice? He's talking about the body. He's going to raise that body up and connect with that spirit and soul. He's going to come forth, those who have done good, to the resurrection of life. Who is that? That's the righteous. And those who have done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation. Who is that? It's the unsaved. It's all going to be raised together, all of us. Nobody's going to miss it. Everybody will see it. Everybody will be there. And I think that's important, because there are some other teachings out there that teach different. But I just want you to know, we're all going to be there together. We really will. Matthew 13:49 says, so it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the just. Oh, yeah, look. I got my angels. I won't say women, but you can act like they ain't. They're not. I don't find a woman angel, but that's okay in the scripture, but that's okay. But what I'm saying is that God's going to use his angels to separate the wicked and the righteous. And you know what happens to them from there? They're brought to the judgment throne. Because guess what? There will be a judgment one day. Yeah, there will be. And see, that's why we want to be faithful. We want to be ready for that coming, because the next step, the next thing we're going to find is a judgment throne. Let's see what the judgment says here, but let me see what this says. Yeah, he's coming to judge what? He's coming to judge, let me say this. Get this in there. He's coming to judge our works. You work hard? You work every day? You work? What kind of work you got? You work on the railroad? Missy works at the bank? I'm retired now, so I'm not working. So this is not the kind of work she's talking about. Even though he does say we should work. We should work. That's making a life. We should do that. No place for a lazy person in Christianity. But what is he talking about? Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from the face of the earth, and the heavens were fled away, and there was no place found for them. I'll start right there, because I want to say this before I talk about the works. this world that we know right now, what did it say? When that judgment throne is set up, it says right here that from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, there was no place for them. This heaven, this earth, and let me back up a minute. There's three heavens that's mentioned in Scripture. Y'all know them. I think we told you this. You got where the birds fly. Then you got the universe. Then you got the third heaven. Well, the first and second heaven will be gone. Trust me. The first and second, and it's going to be no place to find them no more. They're not going to show up anymore. That's why I know that it won't be this heaven, this earth, and these heavens that we'll ever live on. No, it's gone. It's done. So, but speaking of the works, this is what I want to get to. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things written in the books. What books? Now, this is the works he's talking about. What we do with this book, or what we don't do with this book, it's going to be our judgment. Did I listen to it? Did I try to follow it? Was I trying to study it? Did I accept it? Will I do my part as trying to live it? This is what's going to be opened up on Judgment Day. And God's going to see what I've done with this book and what you've done with it. Anything? Some people don't do anything with it. They'll stand against them too. See, our works is important. And, you know, there's those out here today that tell you works have nothing to do with it. Don't have anything to do with it. That's foolishness. We're either going to try to live this book, or we not. But there's one thing else here about another book, is the book of life. I pulled up an extra, I didn't have it in this, but I found it this morning. I want to read you something here about the book of life. It's found in Revelation, chapter 3, verse 4, Church of Sardis. He said, you have a few names, a few, there's a few again. You have a few, I can't say that enough. Look at how many times we saw that today, just in this lesson, a few. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You mean God can blot our name out of the book of life? If he desired to do so, yes, he can. But a few, you see what I'm saying? It's important for us to understand that our works matter and that our garments are to be what they should be. And I think the main thing for us to understand about this, we first have to have white garments, and we get that when we're immersed into Christ. We brought into him. We are saved people. But we are working to hold on to that salvation. Because there's an end coming one day for all of us. And we have to make sure, according to the Word of God, that we are found faithful when that happens, when our end comes. And it is coming for all of us. The whole thing about this lesson was, will God find faith when he comes? He's always found a few. In every generation, he found it in Noah's day, he found a few. He found it in when he walked himself among the Jews, he found a few. Will he find a few at the end of this time, this world? Yeah. The main thing we want to know be that we want to make sure we're part of the few, right? Because one thing he looks for is faithfulness. And I appreciate you guys because y'all been very faithful to this congregation. This is, and I brought, part of this is the reason I brought it up is because you know, well, I know, the devil's hit us hard. You know that. And it gets discouraging when something like this happens. But see, how does God see where we are? You know, he's not going to write another letter and say to the church, Christian Church of Christ, and say, this is where you guys are. This is what you guys are doing wrong. We should try do our best to do what's right, to be faithful, and to hold up our responsibility as a church. Because you and I, that's why we depend on each other. We depend on each other as our as strength. He's coming to bring all the faithful to our final salvation. You know, we started our salvation the day we were immersed into Christ. But even if you die right now, it's not our final place. Your body's going in the ground like we know, and our soul will go be with Jesus. But it, we're not done yet. That's not our finalization. No, no, no. We just read he's got to come back and raise our body. See, it's a process. It's not done yet. It's not final. But there is a final day coming. And that's what we're looking forward to, is the final day. Because that's where we find these words. Then comes the end. When Christ delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When he puts an end to all rule, all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. See, something else we need to see here, Christ is reigning right now. He's reigning now. He's got to, it's not final until he puts an end to all the rules and all the authority of this world. All these people that, whether it be in the White House or whether it be in the kingdom over in England, where all the kingdoms of the world, all that's going to finish. There's going to be an end to all that. He's going to put an end to all that. And all authority and power, all his power and authority is going to rule until the end. After judgment, he's going to usher us in to the kingdom of the Father. Now, they both are going to rule. His kingdom will never actually end. He's just going to join. He's going to bring us to the Father. And the Bible says that there's going to be a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And I believe that that's when the Father comes down with that new Jerusalem. I try to put us a good picture in here. I hope I could halfway made it decent. After judgment, the Bible says he's going to come down with that new Jerusalem. He's going to set us on a new world. And you know, people say this is all a symbolic thing. It's all a metaphor, I guess. It's just trying to get us to see something different. But you know what? I kind of hold to the that it's really going to be a real world with a new Jerusalem, a new city. We talked about this this morning. Calvin brought it up. Even old Abraham could have went back to where God brought him from, to that land. But you know what he said? He said, "No, I'm not going back there. I'm heading for the city I'm looking at is a heavenly Jerusalem." That's what he was looking for right here. This new Jerusalem coming down. And God the Father's going to be there. We're going to be united with him and each other in a whole new world, whatever that is. That's our goal. That's our final goal. But we're not there yet, see? We're not there yet. But one day when he comes, we get through that judgment and thank God that his blood will be there. And he'll tell us, "Come into my Father's kingdom." And the God the Father will be there and accept us. Now, what do you think the Father looks like? The Bible says we're going to see him face to face. Seeing Jesus would be something. When he comes and gives us and set us before the judgment throne to see Jesus, I can't even imagine what that would be like. And we're going to see him for who he is. And even greater than that, I kind of say, careful how I say that, even more than that, we can actually see the Father. I mean, my heavens, isn't that really what we're looking for? Isn't that really, and then the city, I don't know what that city is going to look like or how big it is or, we got some dimension somewhat of it in Scripture, but it's going to be mind-boggling. It's going to be more than we could probably grasp, certainly grasp right now. That's why we can only see it through the Word, because we couldn't, in the flesh, we couldn't see it. Not really. John saw it. He's in the Spirit when he saw it. See, we'll be in a different, whole different world. There'll be no sin there. No pain, no sorrow. You know all that. That's what we're looking forward to. But the bottom line was that I really wanted us to see. And we've saw it so plain. And Jesus said it so plain. Only a few will find it. But let's don't be like Elijah. He told God, Lord, these people done killed all your prophets. They're wicked, and now they're coming after me, and I'm the only one. You know what God told him? Oh, Elijah, Elijah, I have 7,000 who haven't bowed down to Baal. We may think we're the only ones in this little group, but there's others. There's people out here somewhere in this world that's still holding on. But we got to make sure we do. That's the point. We'll have a song now if y'all like to stand, and then we'll... I tried to choose one, and I thought this one was the best one.